want you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of Ephesians. We'll begin in just a moment with Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I want to speak to you on the church family at Christmas time. The church family at Christmas time. Many times we isolate ourselves as individual Christians and forget the identity we have with one another. And we have an identity with one another. And thank God for it. I want you to follow along as I read from the fourth chapter of Ephesians, beginning with verse 12. The Lord talks about gifting the church with prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, apostles, of course, sent ones. Then he says in verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from which the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, there's an expression we use often here. It's in the 15th verse, speaking the truth in love. But what I want you to mark is in the 16th verse. From whom the whole body fitly joined together. Especially joined together. What you do as a believer has an effect on my life. Because we're identified with the same local assembly of baptized believers, the Temple Baptist Church. What I do as a believer has an effect on your life because you belong to the same church that I belong to, the Temple Baptist Church. If you're a member of this church, not just an attender of this church, if you're a member of this church, it means you've come to know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. You've made a profession of faith in Him, and at least you've given the testimony that you've been born again, you follow the Lord in believer's baptism, and you've identified yourself with a family of like faith, people who know the Lord and love the Lord and who serve the Lord together and identify together as a member of the same family. Listen, girls. So you're identified as a member of the Temple Baptist Church because you've been born again, you've identified with other people who say they believe what you believe. You believe what they believe. That's so important. So very important. God has left us here for a purpose. But don't forget the family aspect. Look with me again in chapter 3, if you would please. In chapter 3, the Lord speaks to us in the 15th verse, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That's an amazing statement. The whole family in heaven and earth is named. The whole family. Part of that family is already in heaven. Part of that family is on earth. Part of that family hasn't been completed yet. There are people who are going to be born again and become a part of that family. But in the local assembly, we're joined together. That's what the Bible says, joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. You have a purpose. You say, oh, I can't sing and can't teach or I can't preach. You can pray. You can witness. You can tell people about the Lord. You have a purpose. There's something God has for you to do as a part of this body of believers. There's no doubt about it. And so we're to move forward as a family. As most of you know, of course, my wife and I have two boys. They're both married to beautiful girls, and I have six grandchildren, and thankful to God for them. My mother-in-law, of course, is still with us. She's 95 years old, and she's a queenly lady. God bless her for it. And if any of us speaks about our family, now my grandchildren have extended family. They have grandparents and that type of thing. Not my wife or me. We're not an exclusion just to the grandparent thing. But they know who the family happens to be. They know that's family. If someone was doing something somewhere and a group of individuals were involved in that, one of them would stand out. It'd be the family. They know that's family. You talk about one of them, call that person by name, and if they're family, they would say, that's not just a person, that's my family. And you know, when you come to be a part of a local assembly of baptized believers, you come to be a part of that family. There's certain things families do for one another. There's certain things families never do to one another. You and I know when a family has trouble and there's breaking up in the family, criticism in the family, something going wrong in the family, we all understand that's a bad thing for a family to be doing. Because we're all identified with one another in this family. Well, in spiritual things, we are told by the Lord Jesus, we're needing more than a physical birth that identifies us with a physical family. We need a spiritual birth. The Lord said to a very religious man one night as he came to him under the cover of darkness, Jesus looked at him and said, you must be born again. You must be born again. And the man was a little confused about it, and the Lord explained it to him. And he said, as he explained the difference between a physical birth and a spiritual birth. How many of you have had a spiritual birth? And you followed through that spiritual birth by identifying with the Lord's people, with a body of believers, following him in baptism in that assembly or in a like faith assembly, and you become a part of it. Now, be very careful, because that's your body, that's your family, that's your assembly. You're identified with that assembly. We ought to move together in doctrine and in deed, what we believe and teach. We ought to be together in all these things. Sometimes people are lagging, sometimes I'm lagging in something. I hope I've got my doctrinal position settled after all these years, and I hope my deeds and behavior are becoming to the family to which I belong. It ought to be something that I'm pleased with and you're pleased with when someone identifies me with the Temple Baptist Church. Often, after all these years, I go and people say, you know who that is? That's the pastor of the Temple Baptist Church. And they say, are you the pastor of the Temple Baptist Church? Are you Clarence Sexton? I said, yes, what's left of him. And this is me? Yes, a man came to me today. I was having lunch with a friend, and the man came in and tapped me on the shoulder. He said, oh, buddy, I listen to you. I watch you every service, and you're such a blessing. I'm praying for you. I'd never seen the man in the whole wide world, anywhere, anytime. But he said, I want you to know, when you're preaching, I'm listening. Very interesting. Now, what if I'd acted like an absolute idiot? What if I had given the waitress a hard time? What if I had lived in a way that's not becoming to a Christian? It means something to be a part of a spiritual family, a local assembly of baptized believers. It means something. Someone ought to ask one of us a question, though we can't control one another, and about faith and practice, and we ought to give an answer, and this is what we believe, and this is what we do. And it ought to be the same thing we hear from other members of this family. That's just the way it ought to be. Because our church has been left ordinances, things the Lord ordered that we do, and doctrine, that's our belief and teaching. And so there's a special, special time when the church comes together in those ordinances to see someone obeying the Lord in believer's baptism, and especially when we come to the Lord's table identified with the body of Christ and take the elements of that Lord's Supper and remember him and thank God for what he's done for us. There's a closeness in that as the family comes together, the whole family. What is it you believe as a family? I want you to hold your place here and turn with me, please, to the book of 1 Peter just for a moment. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. God has left this family here. He's left the family here. There are members of our family that are already in heaven. They're gone. They're not with us. They're with Jesus, absent in the body and present with the Lord. Often, I go through a list of people who've been a part of our fellowship here and have now been graduated to glory. I like to remember them. I like to think about them. The men and women and some children. A little girl died of childhood illnesses. And I think about her. When her age group graduated from high school, we remembered her. We thought about her. Her mom and dad. Now her daddy's with her in heaven. Her mother's not there yet. We remember them. But we've been left here. You have been left here, and I've been left here for a purpose. What in the world is it? Here's what God says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Ye are a chosen generation. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. That doesn't mean you're funny. It means you belong to the Lord. You're a peculiar people. That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now think about it. God says, I've left you there. I've left you there, the family of God. I've left you there so that you can live a life and speak and by your deeds, let people know what God is like. That's what you're there for, what God is like. Now you sometimes, and I sometimes, will talk about mom and dad. Someone came in the day and showed me a picture, first one I'd ever seen, ever, of my grandfather's father. Never seen it. His name was John O. Wright. He fought in the Civil War, had a leg blown off, and he lived in the same house with my dad when my dad was just a little boy. I'd never seen the picture. One of these fellows, friend of mine, now he's got me so interested, I want to find everything out about it. I got a great disappointment in it. A great disappointment in it. I knew that his wife's name was Minerva, but I didn't know her last name when John O. married her. And her last name was Hooks. And we're afraid that she was related to Scott Hooks' family. Do I look anything like Scott Hooks? Seriously, I got to thinking, could I be related to him? He's related to me. I'm trying to emphasize something. Family. Sometimes you see a member of our family in a place like Lowe's or Home Depot. I'm trying to give equal advertisement here. And you may see one in one place, one another. They're family members. You want them to act like a family member. How should the family act? What do you expect of the behavior of our family? What accountability do I have? We're talking about Christmas. What does our family, our church family, believe about Christmas? Are we lost in the secularization of it all? Are we? Let's be frank and honest with one another. The world is increasingly secular. No God, no godly influence. Increasingly. Increasingly critical of God. And I know if you're wide awake and you think, we are living in the midst of a revolution. We're living in the midst of it. It's especially important in this revolution that we're in, this secular revolution, which has affected moral decency and everything imaginable, that we identify with Jesus Christ, each of us, as family members. It's especially important. You remember the television show? There were two of them, actually. The show I was asked to come on and give my opinion about same-sex marriage. Now, what were they expecting to hear? What were they expecting to hear? I remember one of the attorneys is in the meeting on the air. He said, well, what's it to you? You plan to marry somebody that's the same? I said, no, sir, I don't. They said, well, what's it to you? Smart. I said, personally, I hope I never have to deal with it in any shape, form, or fashion in a family. I'm against it in our church family. Our church takes a stand against it. But I'm going to tell you what it means. It means that the cornerstone of civilization, which is marriage between a man and a woman, that's the cornerstone of civilization. God Himself, no one else, God Himself built civilization on that cornerstone. And once you start trying to destroy that, there are things all down the line that are going to happen, inevitably happen. Language is going to change. What happens to the word family? Well, we change the family. We redefine the family. All right. What happens to the word husband? Well, we redefine the word husband. Who's the wife? We redefine that. We redefine gender. We redefine all those things. What about courts? Since the mid-70s, laws made it possible for these kind of things to happen. What you hear about recently is not really what's happened. It's the result of many things that have happened through the years. Education system prepared people's minds for this. It's like John Adams when asked about the revolution. He went through the revolution, as you know, and people ask him, he lived to be a very old man, and people ask him about the American Revolution, and they imagined that the revolution was about guns firing and bloodshed, and John Adams enjoyed saying, the revolution was not that. That was a result of the revolution. He said the revolution began 15 years before the first gun fired. And the first battle was fought. People changed the way they thought. And that changed their behavior. Now listen to me carefully. We are living when the thought process has changed. You think about this. Go another decade. Another generation. 30 years. A decade. 10 years. Just go just a little while. You're going to see things that are unimaginable to us now. Who'd have ever dreamed just a few years ago? And you know, people just sort of throw up their hands and say, well, that's just the way it is. No, that's not just the way it is. That's not just the way it is. God said to the church, you're still there to let the world know who I am. And what I expect. And by the way, we're all in that family that's here. All of us in the family that's here to let the world know who He is and what He expects. In the last few days, a theologian by the name of R.C. Sproul died. I didn't agree with everything. He was a great Christian, a great man. I'm a man who believes the gospel is for all people and you can't witness to the wrong person, whosoever will, and Christ tasted death for every man. And there's some people that don't believe that, good Christian people, they don't believe that. Well, I'm one that believes Jesus died for all people. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And it's a shame that you have to give a little clarification when you mention some people. But he wrote many good things. And one book he wrote was What Christianity Is. The exact title is not really important. But his thesis is this. If you are a Christian, here's what you believe about the Bible. We say the Bible is the sole authority for our faith and practice. You ever think about that? How powerful a statement that is? If it disagrees with the Bible, Write this down somewhere. If it disagrees with the Bible, it disagrees with God. So somebody sits and says, this is the way the culture is going now. This is what life is all about. Imagine little children being taught the revolution of the mind. The cultural revolution leads to a moral revolution. No fixed point of reference. But imagine anything that's taught or said that's against the Bible is against God. The sole authority for our faith and practice. But that's not where I'm going with this. I'm saying if you're a member of this family, that's what you should believe. Now, no one can force you. No one can make you. You know, Christianity is being redefined in every way imaginable. Churches are losing all distinctive. But this particular man says, this is what you believe about the Bible, about God's inerrant word. He said, this is what you believe about Jesus Christ and salvation in him. There's no other way of salvation except through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a member of the family, that's what you believe. We celebrate Christmas. We're not celebrating, you know, some sparkle of lights or whatever. We're recognizing that Christ Jesus came in the world and became a man without ceasing to be God, and he is the only way of salvation. That's what this family believes. He went on to write about other things, the local church, things to come, end time events, the family, home, only clearly what the Bible says. What the Bible says. And I say to you, we're not just islands by ourselves. You say, well, I got an opinion about something. That's good. You're welcome to it. But this family believes certain things. Nobody forced you. Nobody tried to make you be a robot. No one. But what kind of family identifying do you have? There's some people that say, well, I want you to go out and do this out of the other with me. And you would say, my family doesn't do that. I'm talking about your physical family. In the same sense, your spiritual family doesn't engage in that. Why? Because I'm here on this earth to identify with God and let this world that's increasingly secular know what God is like. That's why I'm here. You've got to know why you're here. And one day, one family member after another will disappear from this earth to heaven. And when you go or I go, what will the family still believe? We'll believe what we've always believed. Because we're not going to be changed by the culture. We've been captured by the Lord. We believe the Bible is our sole authority, our only authority for faith and practice. And God's moving and working. And as we live the Christian life in this family, other people come to know God and who he is, and they come to believe what you and I believe. That's what it's supposed to be like. May God help us. Fitly joined together, not renegades, not on my own, not wild and rebellious. Oh, you're an individual. Thank God for it. But what about your belief system as it relates to who God is and what the Bible says about God? And so when we consider the subject at hand, which is Christmas, I just wanted to bring this to your attention, that somewhere there's a body of believers like this body of believers. There are many of them, local assemblies. Thank God. You think how far removed, how distant with the beliefs, how far gone the world would get if God's family wasn't around to remind them what the Bible says. It's drifted a long way now, hasn't it? And we're going to look and see someday sooner than we think so many unimaginable things, so far removed from God's word. So far removed. Let's just peek for a moment. Come on. Let's peek ahead just for a moment. Just look ahead just for a moment. When the numbers increase and children are raised in confusion, where they don't know mama, daddy, family, husband, wife, where they don't know what God says, how confused this world is going to be, how distant and far removed from God they're going to be. It's not getting better on that score. Who is going to be here to give the fixed point of reference and say, this is the way God designed it to be? That's what you and I are left here for. And I want to be unashamed of Jesus Christ and have a humble spirit about it, not be proud and boastful. But say, no, my friend, this is what God created it to be. And you need to know, you need to know. You say there's no right or wrong. God says there is. No, thou shalt or thou shalt not. No, no, no. God says there is. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end there is the ways of death. So let's rejoice that we have a family of like faith. Amen? Would you bow with me in prayer?